I thank you, thank you, thank you for how you have moved in our time. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. And even as we have sung, all our lives, you've been faithful. All of our lives, you've been good. And so with every breath we have, we should be willing to speak of your goodness, to sing of your goodness, to share of your goodness. Father, I pray that you would cause this word to come alive now, that over the next few moments, we would all be encouraged, strengthened, that you would reveal to us what you have for us and what you're doing in this season. And I thank you for it now, in Jesus' name, amen. There is a new book out by Bishop T.D. Jakes entitled Disruptive Thinking. Any of you heard about that book? He did an interview recently with Pastor A.R. Bernard out of New York, a great interview that they did together. And I'm going to be ordering books. If you're interested in a copy, let us know. But leaders just need to know that that book is on the way, because I believe that we are in a season of disruption. There, and going back to what I said about even with our music and with our worship, because sometimes God, he himself, and this is what I'm going to talk about, he disrupts things to get us to move somewhere that we're not going to go on our own. Thank you, Lord. So I started listening to some of these interviews and things, and I remembered, and many of you probably don't, but it was in 2019 that I talked about divine disruptions. Anybody remember that? It was in 2019. It wasn't too long after we got here in this building. Maybe I should have held that message, because, boy, that year was full of disruptions. It was most challenging. But God allows those to happen, and we're going to talk about that here for a reason. And so I would like to take the next 38 minutes and 42 seconds to talk about divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Divine disruptions for unleashed potentials. Now, I have no doubt, I haven't read Bishop Jakes' book, but I have no doubt that he's covering similar type things. He's not the only one that's doing it. As a matter of fact, when I shared years back now about this, some of you might remember I shared from a book called The Potential Principle by Mark Sanborn. One of the statements that was made that he shares in his book is this. Matter of fact, he has a chapter entitled Disrupt Yourself. Disrupt yourself before someone or something else does. Disrupt yourself before someone or something else does. Divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Pastor Deborah, did you get the email with the notes for this? Are you shaking your head no? You didn't get them. All right, well, with the beauty of technology, just give me 1 second. Because some of what I'm saying, as quickly as possible, needs to be on the screen. I sent it to your Me account. Thank you, Lord. Some of what I'm going to share is going to be hard for you to follow it if you don't see it, but we're going to try to do the best that we can. Divine disruptions for unleashed potential. The word potential, a God-given vision, dream, or idea for of future possibilities beyond something or someone's current state that is better, more promising, more fulfilling than the current reality. Potential. A God-given vision, dream, idea, or future future possibilities beyond something or someone's current state that is better, more promising, more fulfilling than the current reality. When God came to Abraham, he was speaking to him about his potential. When God came to Jeremiah, he was speaking to him about his potential. But in order for them to be able to step into that potential, there needed to be a disruption. The word disruption, an act of delaying or interrupting the continuity. Disorderly outburst. Event that results in a displacement or discontinuity. God comes to Abraham and he says, I'm inviting you to come with me, but it's going to mean a disruption. Everything you have known, you got to let it go. I'm talking about divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Potential, hidden potential, power, strength, energy, knowledge, ability, and resources that are lying dormant, that have not been realized, recognized, acknowledged, activated, or drawn upon. Now, let me just pause right there for a minute and say that again. Hidden potential. Say hidden potential. Hidden potential. Say power, strength, energy, knowledge, ability, and resources that are lying dormant, that have not been realized, recognized, acknowledged, activated, or drawn upon. Is it possible? Is it possible that you have untapped potential? Is it possible that you have things dormant on the inside of you that God has always wanted to bring to the surface? The author of Potential Principles says, you've got to learn how to disrupt yourself. And I think that for me personally, that's kind of what I'm feeling right now. Because the scriptures that I read talk to me every day about untapped potential, hidden potential. There are more facets to you than you could ever imagine. There is more in you and me than we could ever imagine. And yet, if we're not careful, we allow the experiences of our life or the lack thereof to cause us to land in a place where we never fulfill our greatest potential. Therein, we never fulfill purpose, all of purpose, and never fulfill destiny. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry to be looking down, y'all. I'm just checking my stuff here. I don't want to not share something with you that I believe Holy Spirit is saying. Say this. That's right. Thank God for technology. Thank God for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just give me a moment here to find this point that I need to make. See, the more examples you can give, the better opportunity you give people the opportunity to catch it. And the more time it gives Pastor Deborah to pull everything in up back there. Pastor Deborah, you got it now? I know. Thank you so much. Would y'all thank the Lord for Pastor Deborah back there? See, that's how you keep people on your good side. Affirm them publicly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, y'all still with me? Okay, just give me a second here. If it seems like I'm not prepared, it just seems that way. Hallelujah. As I was praying and I was thinking about today, I went back and I took time to do some reading again out of the potential principle again, because this message on disruptive thinking is not a new message for me. As a matter of fact, I think so much of life has been a series of disruptions. And the truth be known, it's the same for you. But very often, we just don't know it. It's kind of like what we were singing. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. Thank you, Jesus. Untapped potential. Unleashed potential. This is from the book, The Potential Principle. Matter of fact, before I read that, let me give a few scripture references for context so that somebody say, he never did say a scripture, did he? It's in John 14, 12 through 15. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Somebody just say anything. Anything. Now, you have to know, that is unlimited resources. That is unlimited potential. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. That means there's power on the inside of you and I that if we would ever come into a greater revelation and reality of it, there's no telling what we could see and what we might do. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I'm talking about divine disruptions for unleashed potential. It's in the potential principle. The writer quotes H.G. Wells. It says this, wealth, notoriety, place, and power are no measure of success, whatever. The only true measure of success is the ratio between what we might have done and what we have been and what we might have been. On the other hand, the ratio between what we have done and what we might have been on the other hand, and the thing we have made of ourselves on the other. Meaning, true success isn't necessarily what people see. It's what you had the potential to do, and did you do it? In 1985, three-time Olympic athlete John Howard was on the Bonneville Salt Flats trying to set a new land speed record on a bicycle. Howard was not riding your dad's Swin bicycle. His was a specially built bicycle. One turn of the pedals moved the bike more than 110 feet. When Howard set the land speed record, his monitored heart rate was 195 beats per minute. His top speed, 152 miles per hour on a bicycle. If you guessed that this is the top speed for riding a bicycle, you'd be wrong. A decade later, a European beat Howard's best by reaching a top speed of 161 miles per hour on a bicycle. You might have little or no interest in bicycles or land speed records. That's not the point. What's important is this. We have no idea what is possible physically, mentally, or organizationally. Most of us far underestimate our own potential and the potential of others. If we are not intentional, if you are not intentional, we live in that space where we always come up short in our thinking. How many of you would have thought that someone could ever ride a bike that fast? Let me read just a little bit more. Even though I'm no mind reader, I can say with a high degree of confidence that you were at least surprised, if not shocked, that a human could ride a bicycle that fast. Nothing in the average person's experience with bicycles would suggest that anyone could ride one as fast as 150 miles per hour. We've never ridden a bicycle faster than 40, maybe 50 miles per hour. What's more, most of us have never been in a car that's gone faster than 110 or 120 miles per hour. Based on our experience, that is, what we know, most of us would guess that the top speed for the bicycle is far slower than what's actually possible. This means that sometimes our experience, our frame of reference works against us. So experience isn't necessarily the best teacher. Because if you only live in the space of that experience, you limit yourself. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father." I'm talking about divine disruptions for unleashed potential. Fulfilled potential will require cooperation. It can often entail some level of discomfort, inconvenience, pain, perseverance, persistence, patience, and sacrifice. Now I need to just pause here again and say, saints, we have got to pray more. We have got to pray more collectively. Because there is untapped potential unfulfilled potential. So I go back and read this again. Fulfilled potential will require some cooperation. It can often entail some level of discomfort, inconvenience, pain, perseverance, persistence, patience, and sacrifice. It is not unlike God to cause a divine disruption to set things in order. You can see it through the scriptures, and whether we realize it or not, he is doing it all the time because he is in charge. And when things shift in the economy, when things shift globally, however you want to look at it, don't think for one minute God's saying, I didn't see that coming. Right. Everything is working for our good. Everything is working for our good. God can take the most well-meaning person that's just as off as they can be and change them in a moment and shift that potential into his kingdom. That's what we see with Paul, who was first Saul. In Acts chapter 9, it says this, verse 1, it says, now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from them to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging in the way, talking about believers, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now I want you to notice again, it says, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. In modern day times, Saul would be a serial killer. He'd be a modern day terrorist. But thank God for divine disruptions. He's on his way doing, believing what he's supposed to be doing. Most self-righteous in what he was doing. But it says this, as he was traveling, say as he was traveling. Mean as he was moving, as he was doing. You see, it is the law of motion. You do understand what the law of motion is, don't you? It's easier to move an object that's in motion than one that's standing still. So God doesn't have a problem with you doing something. He has a problem with you doing nothing. He doesn't have a problem with you stepping out with something. He has a problem with you sitting down doing nothing and saying you're waiting on God. I was all the way in South Africa when I got that word when God said, you said you're waiting on me. No, you ain't waiting on me. You stopped. I'm like, God, did you have to bring me all the way to South Africa in front of all these people to say that? But divine disruption will show up anytime, anywhere. The key is what you do with that disruption when it happens. I'm there as a leader. I'm there leading. I'm there teaching other leaders. And in the midst of that, have my own divine disruption. It wasn't one of those, I want to talk to you in private and tell you something. It's right up in front of everybody. So don't think it's strange. See, Paul wasn't by himself. As he was traveling, said it happened that he was approaching Damascus, meaning he's on his assignment. He thinks he's doing what he's supposed to be doing now. He's going to go get these Christians, round them up, wrap them up, send them to prison. He's on his way. Says approaching means he's getting close. God doesn't mind you doing something. He minds when you don't do anything. He doesn't mind you heading that way. He can stop you at any time if it's not the right way, or he needs to adjust you before you get to that location. But the key is, you got to be willing to do something. And just trust God for the divine disruption. It says, as he was traveling, it happened as he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. It's not unlike God to keep you on the same course. Just when you get there, what you thought the assignment was is no longer the assignment. God has no problem with you staying on the road. He may just divinely change you while you're on en route. Cause there to be a disruption in your plan, disruption in your thinking, that when you get there, you thought you were going to do one thing only for him to get you there or tell you on your way what you thought you were going to do, you're not going to do that. You're going to do this. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Glory, glory, glory. Divine disruptions for unleashed potential. See, one of the challenges that we can often have in the midst of the divine disruptions as when they happen, that we don't take it as a sign and stop doing what we're doing. It can be just a pause. It can also be a very specific change, that what you have been doing is not causing you to reach your fullest potential or your next, if you will, facet of who God has created you to be. So he himself will disrupt your world, disrupt your situation. That is, if you're not willing to disrupt it yourself. You see, greater potential is not always revealed, required, or drawn on in favorable times. While favorable times can come as a result of exercised potential and be fruit of one's labor and even be a harvest season. But here's can be the catch with that. Consistent favorable times can produce an atmosphere, an attitude that says, this is good, this is good enough. It can lead to complacency and lethargy. One can become lackadaisical, lazy. There's no longer a push for the next level. The next level, that's our word for this year. The next level, there is no push. Are you pushing yourself? Are we pushing each other? Are we saying, I see what you're doing and it's good, but I can see more? And when somebody talks to you that way, don't get offended. Don't get insulted in who you think you're talking to. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you, you're doing good, but you can do more. You're doing good, but you can do better. There's no longer a push for the next level, the greater level. Because it is most unfortunate in the lives of many. I won't put this on all believers, but I want to tell you something. If you have not disciplined yourself with a disciplined life of prayer and intercession, you'll find yourself waning. You won't be praying the way that you prayed when you needed money. You won't be praying the way that you were praying when you needed healing. You won't be praying the way that you were praying when you needed breakthrough. We get into a place, and there's nothing wrong with rest. There's nothing wrong with rest. There is absolutely nothing wrong with rest. We should be resting in him. But at the same time, every now and then, we've got to do this self-evaluation. We've got to do our own disruption. Am I maintaining the disciplines that I once walked in when I felt like I wasn't going to make it except I walked in them? Can I maintain those and yet believe to go higher? I discipline myself. Everywhere I go, I tell whoever I'm going, I need a place where I can work out. So if you're booking the hotel, I need you to find one that's got a workout room. If I'm doing it, I'm going to find one. Next month, I'll be in Texas with a dear friend. He asked me to stay at his house, and I said I'll do that. You know, I don't do it a lot, but I'll do that so that we can, you know, really connect and have more time to connect. I just need to know, can you get me to a gym? I mean, do you have a workout facility in your, no? Okay, so I need to know how to get to a gym at least once a day. See, I've been attacked in my body. And thank God for the victory. But I recognize right now, I need to maintain. You see, I was working out before that happened. But once that happened, I said, oh yeah, this doesn't drop. This doesn't change. And a lot of times we'll say, you need to do your part and God will do the rest. Well, I don't say that. I'm going to do my part, and God's doing all of it. That's a different perspective. I'm going to do my part, and God's going to do all of it. There's never one time when I want him to take his hands off of it and let it be just me. There's never a time you want him to take his hands off of you and just let it be you, and then want him to come in and do the rest. See, it's stewarding even that those things we say that sound good. Well, you do your part and God will do the rest. I don't want to live like that. You just tell me what my part is in your plan. And if you're telling me to stretch the rod out over the Red Sea, I'll do that because I know you've already parted it at some time in eternity. What we're about to see has already happened. I'm just in partnership with you to make it a reality in time and space. Consistent favorable times can produce an atmosphere and an attitude that says this is good and that it's good enough. The divine disruptions for unleashed potential. So the writer says in this book, the potential principle, you must disrupt yourself before someone or something else does. Then he shares these four points that I also want to share with you. He says, disrupting yourself opens the path to growth. Not all change is growth, but all growth is change. Unwillingness to confront assumptions, challenge your thinking, and try new things is a roadblock to improvement. It's a roadblock to unleashed potential. An object in motion, here we go, is easier to move than an object at rest. Complacency is rest. Disruption is motion. Disrupting yourself preempts the competition. Rather than responding, you are creating. Instead of playing catch up, you are playing stay ahead. You see, you don't win by playing not to lose. That's a whole different attitude. Disrupting yourself develops mental muscle. Abandon the image of the path to progress as a lovely, level, winding walk in a beautiful countryside. The path of progress is rocky, steep, and challenging. It is a path of resistance, and resistance, like disruption, develops strength. Disrupting yourself creates unforeseen opportunities. You see, you'll enter territory you've never visited. And if you keep your eyes open, you'll see opportunities either invisible to or unspotted by others. I'm almost done. You must be brave. You must be brave. Self-disruption will require you to be brave. It is not for the faint of heart. Being creatures of habit, many of us are deficient in the flexibility department. We like to stick to the plan, do things the way we've always done them, and put as many things on autopilot as possible. We lull ourselves into a routine that closes off to the flexibility required for self-disruption. Self-disruption can be risky. It is about abandoning certainty. Even when you stop doing what didn't work, there are no guarantees for what will work. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. I was having this conversation with Brother Keith, and we were riding, we were talking, and somehow we got on the subject of this disruption and disrupting yourself. And I was sharing with him about the book by T.D. Jakes, and I shared with him about a couple other people who said in a season of their life they recognized that there was more for them. And it's not unlike for some of you, you just really know deep down inside that where you're at and what you're doing, it's not the fullest you. But it takes courage, and it takes being brave to resign. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit your job. I just need you to hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about making the decision to say that you have the internal awareness that this isn't it. It's paying the bills. There's a level of certainty here, but this isn't it. Those here in the room, those that may be listening who are entrepreneurs, who have employed and do employ people, you know what I'm talking about when I say it's a whole different world going from someone else hiring you, paying you, to you hiring others and paying them, and then making sure things keep going so that they can keep getting paid. That is a whole nother level. I'm convinced that some of you that are watching, some of you right here in this room, you're supposed to be owners of companies. The question that you may have to face and ask yourself and answer is, are you in a place where you're uncertain, and so you haven't been willing to step out take courage, the attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it, and stepping into that place and be brave and really launch out, disrupt yourself. Trusting God all the while because he's in charge of everything. So when I look back over our journey, my family, my journey, if you read my book, Same Faith, Same God, Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith, there's clearly decisions of disruption. Maybe I should have titled that, it'd be a bestseller. That's book two. Well, Bishop Jake's already got one out there, so I'm going to let him get some mileage out of it. God bless you, Bishop Jakes. But sometimes God will allow circumstances to go a certain way to disrupt your life. He does it all the time. But can you see it? Can you know it? And can you trust him? God, why did you do that? God, you see what they're doing to me. And he said, yeah, I'm just trying to get you agitated enough to get up and do something. See, disruption for me is in seasons. One clear disruption was when we moved to Cincinnati and life is well, and I'm on staff and things are going well, and we record, and this recording is selling all over the world and it's in other nations and it's all over the country. But God speaks to me and said, this season for you is over. Man, that's a clear disruption. Now, I didn't make that decision on my own. But I cooperated with it. I cooperated with it. See, when we are faced with divine disruptions, the best thing you can do, even when you don't like it, even when you don't understand it, is simply say, yes, Lord, give me the grace to cooperate with you. See, sometimes the worst of conditions will place a demand for greater potential to be drawn on and manifested. Unleashed potential. Sometimes God will move you and I into spaces where it is the worst of conditions in order to cause the disruption to move us into that next place of unleashed potential. I want to encourage you, beware of people who tell you that's good enough. Especially when you know there is more. You're wanting to do more. Oh, we're fine, we're fine. When there's something, someone on the inside telling you there's more. I submit to you this morning, Holy Spirit is saying there's more. There's more. There's more. Come on, just look at two or three folks and just affirm and say, there's more. 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 That's stirring on the inside of you that says, you know, I'd like to do this. I'd really like to do this. That's that untapped potential waiting to be unleashed. So right in the middle of what's seeming to be a very fruitful season, God says the season for you is over. And I disrupt my whole family and I move them to Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. We're there for 2 years and then I disrupt everybody again and I bring them back. It's easier said than the reality of the experience. But by God's grace, He has proven that He is good. And He is faithful. Anybody here, I'm really trying to pull this. I just got a couple more points. Anybody here, deep down, and you're just saying, I can do more. Is it just me? I can do more. I can be more. The me He sees is not the me I am. The me He sees is not the me that you see. I can do more. I can be more. I will. I will. I will be more. I will do more. You gotta, I can't put those words in your mouth. But there's something on the inside of you that feels the same way. You need to shout it out right now. If you're watching right now, you need to shout it out right now. Shout it out. Come on, you got to shout it out with some power and some authority and some defiance against the enemy. You won't back me up. You won't back me down. You won't shut me up and you won't shut me down. I can do more. I can be more and I will. Now lift up a shout of triumph right now. Come on, come on, some of that stagnation is breaking right now. Some of you need to get up on your feet and just do your hands like this because you've been carrying some things. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, stand up unless you're crippled. Come on, just shake your hands like this. I can do more. I can be more. And I will. I will. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God doing in your life? Allowing in your life that is divinely designed to unleash the greater potential, greater manifestation of His power and glory. I know it. 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 And if you feel like you're in a season of disruption right now, just wait and see what God is going to do as a result of getting on the other side of this season. It's a season of your increased capacity for the more. For the more. For the more. You see, it's not just my life, it's yours as well. There are seasons in your life where you moved in a season of disruption. Either you initiated it or God initiated it for you. We all have them. We just haven't seen them to know what they are and how God was working in them. Some of them was just the conviction of the Holy Spirit that said to you, you need to stop this. You need to change this. You need to remove this person. You need to get with this person. Or whatever it is, you need to come out of that assignment. You need to come out of that employment, and you need to shift over here into this employment. You need to shift from this area of education to this area of education. You need to shift from what the dream was to what I'm making it to be now. Because here's the thing, no matter how big you dream, no matter how big I dream, God's dream is always bigger. It is always bigger. For he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think according to the power, no matter what your dream. So I ask you, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the sacrifice? Are you willing to deal with discomfort, inconvenience, pain, perseverance, persistence, patience, and sacrifice now? Because I don't know about you, I'm not satisfied. I got a vision. I've seen a vision concerning this place. Full. Full. It's time to disrupt some things. So if you happen to be watching, and those of you in the room, I want to lead you in a prayer. Any part of it you don't agree with, just don't say it. You ready? I need you to say it loud. If it starts getting quiet, I knew you didn't agree with that part. Heavenly Father, I know that you created me. And in creating me, you gifted me, and you placed in me potential, purpose, and destiny. I believe that my steps are ordered by you. Your goodness has followed me all the days of my life, even when I didn't recognize it. And when I look back over my life, I believe that you divinely disrupted situations, circumstances, and relationships for my good. And so I can trust you. I trust you. And now I say, God, disrupt my life in any way needed to bring me into the place of the potential for which you have placed in me. I yield myself and I commit myself to walk through the discomfort, the inconvenience, the pain, the perseverance, the persistence, the patience, and the sacrifice. I commit that I will move as you lead. Help me to move and not be stagnant. Help me to see myself as you see me. Not how others see me. Not even as I see myself. But as you see me. Now I thank you that you are committed to your word. You are committed to your covenant. And as I am willing, as I am willing to comply with and cooperate with your word, everything, everything that you have intended to do in me and through me will come to pass. Get the glory. Get the glory. Get the glory out of my life. Get the glory. Get the glory. Get the glory out of my life. Get the glory. Get the glory. Get the glory out of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. Lift up a shout of praise. Glory! Glory! You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Divine disruptions for unleashed potential.